pretend. You can pretend to be the blind person.
I am not. Then how would I see it?
See, you're a natural.
No, you're a terrible person.
No, it's funny. He's 503, and don't act like you're afraid of offending deaf listeners. 503-7, because that's just stupid. It's 503-733-2970. You could act like you're afraid of offending the blind. How are they ever going to find you? This blind audience all pissed off at us. Who cares? 503-733, where would they even, they wouldn't even know where to shoot. If you were really quiet.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. Anywho, 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It is March 7th, which is, of course, blah, blah, blah. It's Dave Zinn's birthday and Taylor Dane's birthday and also my birthday. So all phone calls today must be...
And Dave Zinn, did you say Dave Zinn?
Yes, 32. So all phone calls today must begin with the phrase, whatever happened to, and then followed up by something from my now long past faded youth. Rick, just in case, emails also have to start with whatever happened to. Hey, whatever happened to your youth, old man? Happy birthday. Thank you, sir. Happy birthday, Rick, this email says. This may help you, it may not. You are 34, I am 35. It's like we're supposed to be bursting into song underneath a gazebo. If you would like, you can repeat, I am 34, but I am not as old as Paul. I have a friend born on the same day as me only 1 year earlier who I look up to as someone even older and more decrepit than I am. It really helps when I'm out of box wine. This friend deserves the sort of treatment anyway because on... Listen to this now. On my birthday last year, and I swear this is the truth, he got me a stripper. The stripper began to do her thing, stripping, gyrating, whatnot. Then she sat on my lap, pulled mayonnaise packets from where they had been stashed in her underwear, opened them up and began spreading the condiment all over her face.
Ew.
What kind of... What? That doesn't even make any sense.
And that's gross because those packets are all warm.
It's not that... I think you're missing the point.
No,
that it's mayonnaise.
No, just smell of warm mayonnaise on your face.
Out of some stripper's crotch? I'm going to read that again. Last year, he got me a stripper. The stripper began doing her thing. Stripping, gyrating, whatnot. Then, where would you even find a stripper like this? Then she sat on my lap.
Stripper, if you're listening, come to the studio and search for Rick.
Then she sat on my lap, pulled mayonnaise packets from where they had been stashed in her underwear, opened them, and began spreading mayonnaise all over her face.
Then?
I don't... Yeah, seriously, you can't just email this in and then just not give us anything how you responded to it. He says, I don't know where you can purchase this service, so don't ask. I didn't think to get her business card. Isn't that right, donkey? How would you... I don't even know how you would respond to such stripping. Well, all right. In any event, let's see here. Did Tim say they were going to build a campus for approximately 140 blind and deaf students? Are they going to have 10 students per building? What the hell? I don't understand what size campus they're building. What else do we have here? Rick, about that blind and deaf school they're going to be merging. I think the hilarious hijinks you're thinking of may be related to some sort of after-school TV special, where the blind kids and the deaf kids have some sort of rivalry in a summer camp situation and have to compete against each other in crazy contests. Just the idea of a blind and deaf three-legged race contest contains so much comedic value. Deaf kids not knowing when to start and blind kids not seeing the finish line. At the end, everyone learns the most valuable lesson of all, to hate the rich fat kids across the lake. In addition, they could also merge it into a deaf, blind, and dumb school by adding the community college students. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Sarah, you have to come over here and help me act out this script.
I am not going to, no.
Do you want to be the blind kid or the deaf kid?
That's a job for Scotty J. I don't need to do that.
Scotty can't read. You have to come over here.
I am not going to do that, Rick Emerson.
No, it's funny. You can be the blind guy.
You know that I have a bigger hurt than you, and I can't. Oh, look, Scotty J.
It's not insulting in any way. Aaron has scripted. I was noting that merging a blind school and a deaf school together makes for hilarious comedy, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So Aaron has been kind enough to script out a sample scene from what you can't have Scotty do it. All right.
Rick, I feel uncomfortable making fun of blind and deaf people.
No, you don't. All right, Scott. And it's not, you know, where we're laughing together. We're learning to laugh with our brothers. Okay. Scotty, you read the lines for the blind kid.
Okay.
I'll read the lines for the deaf kid.
Scotty, you can use that microphone.
All right. Okay, can you see this?
Kind of.
All right. This is a sample scene from Blind Kids Go to School with Deaf Kids, as written by Aaron Duran. I will play the deaf kid. And I think that this has to be done the full-on Marley Matlin voice. All right.
See, and that's why I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Two kids approach each other at the blind and deaf school.
Hey, out of my way.
Okay, time out.
See, that's why it's not working.
All right, here we go.
No, it's too late.
I couldn't see where we were.
It's too
so.
Late. Okay, you read the lines for the blind kid.
Okay,
I'll write the lines.
It.
I'll read the lines for the deaf kid.
All right.
Hey, out of my way.
What?
That doesn't make any sense. If you're blind, why wouldn't you be able to understand me? Oh, because I'm deaf and I speak weird. Okay.
Out of my way.
What?
Move.
Who?
You. Move.
Me?
Yes, you in the red. Move.
What?
The red.
Red?
Red. You're in red.
I can't understand you.
Move.
And then it just goes on like that in the hallway for like half an hour. There you go.
I regret not reading that with you.
All right. And then,
thank you, Scotty.
And then just Braille books and talking books go flying. Hilarity ensues. All right, I found
I'm it. Sorry, I know it was your birthday, but I can't do that, Rick Emerson.
I found it funny. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's do a few more of these. We'll revisit the Ministry of Truth. We got the top five coming up. Jim Roop at some point today. Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com and so forth. Let's get a couple of these. Lauren, hello, sir.
There is nothing that can save you from hell now.
Exactly.
I like the idea of the two of them bumping into each other, and it's sort of like an irresistible force, immovable object kind
hey,
of thing.
What? Me?
Yes.
I don't think you guys caught when Scotty, when he screwed up at first, and he's like, I couldn't see what you were talking about.
He's a method actor. All right. How can I help you, sir?
Well, a couple things. One, I have a CD for you for your birthday, I guess, now.
God bless you. Thank you.
The other is, I don't know, I've been on a binge drinking escapade for the last few weeks.
You've been on a binge drinking binge?
Escapade, really.
Okay.
For the last escapade. Few weeks. So I don't know if you've talked about this or even know about it, but have you seen or heard about that show called The Riches?
Is it a TV show?
Yeah, it's coming out, and I think it's like FX. It's Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver.
Oh, now I didn't think that had premiered yet.
It's actually not. It premieres on Monday, but I saw an ad for it, and I was like, well, I wonder if Rick knows about it.
I
know you love Eddie Izzard, so.
No. I don't know anything about this, except that I saw an ad for it in Rolling Stone, and it was, the ad was pretty eye-catching, actually. It was like a typical, like, suburban house with, like, a ski mask, like a giant ski mask pulled over the whole house. And then it said Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know the plot or anything.
It seems like the premise, I mean, they keep playing the same ad, and it's pretty short, but it's basically, it's like these rich people die or something, or they're killed or something
right,
like that.
Right.
So Eddie Izzard, Minnie Driver, and the whole family take over their life, and they live in like this huge mansion, the whole deal, and pass themselves off as these dead people.
That's pretty great.
Oh,
I'll see anything that Eddie Izzard does. I'll watch that guy.
I figured.
He's genius. I'll watch that guy in anything. Doesn't even matter.
And he's got a really weird kind of almost Midwestern accent.
And, you know, he does a pretty good American accent when he wants to. Now Eddie Izzard is known as, I mean, his gimmick is that he's a cross-dresser. That's his thing. He's a transvestite comedian. Yes, he's a cross-dresser, but the thing is, I'll be curious to see him not like that, because most of the time I've seen Eddie Izzard, he has been in his full, like, cross-dress getup, because he's a weird-looking guy. He's got a huge mouth, for one thing. His mouth, Eddie Izzard's mouth is gigantic.
Well, he looks like, you know, the caramel apple on the top of the stick, you know,
yeah,
he's like skinny body, but it's weird, because, yeah, it's like in the show, he's got, you know, he's just wearing, like, jeans and t-shirts and stuff, and a gigantic head, so.
All right, well, I'm all over that. When does it start, do you know?
It starts on Monday. I believe it's on FX.
Fantastic. You know, I've been talking to Laura. We've been talking about getting rid of cable, actually, just because, like, we have so, like, there's so little time. It seems like, you know, there's like a million channels, and then, I know I sound like an old person, but, you know, if not today, then when?
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's, like, you know, there's so many cable channels, and, you know, like, Netflix and Xbox and, like, regular movies, and then, like, you know, you can watch everything online and whatnot now, and it's then the cable's like $100 a month. So,
well, with this, I just figured you might want to see it right off the bat because you know they're going to cancel it since it's been getting rave reviews.
Well, that's the other thing. So, yeah, so there you go. All right, thank you, sir.
Happy birthday.
All right, there you go. Yes, thanks. That's Lorne. Lorne! It's 503-733-2970. It was pretty great that Scotty, as the blind kid, couldn't read the script. I hadn't really thought about that. It's 503-733-2970. This is Palmer. You're on the Rick Emerson show. Palmer.
What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, long time.
Thank you.
I took the afternoon off, and I was like, I better listen to him for a little bit. I can't get you at work anymore. So, lo and behold, it's your birthday, so I figured I better give you a call and say happy birthday, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. Have a good day.
You as well. Thank you. There you go. It's a birthday greeting from Palmer. Let's see here. What else do we have? This is Judy. Hello, Judy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I hope the day brings as much joy to you as you bring to the rest of us during the day.
Are you that woman that called up and said that I heal thousands of people with my voice?
No, but I'll second that emotion.
Okay. Well, all right then.
Hey, whatever happened to Fizzits?
To what?
Fizzits? You don't remember Fizzits?
Oh, wait, is that like the thing that the all phone calls today, by the way, if people are wondering about this, we have decreed that all phone calls in honor of my advancing age must begin with the phrase, whatever happened to, and then and name check a thing that doesn't exist anymore. Is that that thing where it's like you would make your own soda or whatever?
Hello. I'm in a family of 13 and up in Alaska. I grew up. And you get a glass of water and you drop this tablet in the water. And it makes a soda.
Yeah.
Fizzies and color flavors, grapes, orange, cherries.
It was like Alka-Seltzer,
exactly.
But it was actually just a beverage. Yeah.
And but the bubbles hung around. It truly created a soda pop.
Yeah, no, it was like a make-your-own soda thing. Because they found out the key to selling anything to children, to having children consume something, is to make it carbonated. Like they tried, and people don't remember this, but in like 89, 90, 91, there was a few years where they sold carbonated milk.
Oh, yes, and chocolate milk. Too.
No, yeah, the look on Sarah's face says it all right there. That's why it didn't really work. There are certain things that seem in theory to be a great idea. Carbonated milk, perhaps, if you're selling to five-year-olds. But then you take a big drink of that and you realize it's just ass. It's just a terrible, terrible idea. Now, this is absolutely true. People will think I'm making this up, but you know what they're selling now is carbonated fruit. And it's like apples and bananas that they have injected with carbon dioxide, and you take a big bite of your apple, like an apple, just like a regular apple. You just bite into it, and it's carbonated. So that's their whole thing for marketing stuff to children. That or covering it in chocolate.
They would get me with that. They would get me with that. I love grapes too, you know, where they mix the apples with the grape juice.
It's like marketing. It's like anything covered in cream cheese I'm more likely to buy.
Excellent. Hey, happiest day, dear.
Thank you. There you go. That's Judy. And Judy there. Believes I heal people with my voice, which is true. It's 503-733-2970. This is Perry. Perry, you're on the Rick Emerson show today. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Whatever happens to that guy back in 1998 that won the contest of yours for the most disgusting job ever?
I don't remember that.
That would be me. I won that contest.
Oh, what did happen to you? Did you win something exciting?
No, I think it was just the glory and all that.
What was the... Now, I apologize. I feel like an ass for not remembering this, but it is almost a decade ago, and I might have been drunk. What was the... you won a contest for the most disgusting job?
Yeah. Number two was one of those honey bucket sucker guys, and I was the... I volunteered up at OHSU for the proctology exam.
I do remember this. I do remember this now. I think I may have blocked out some of the more salient details.
There you go.
I do remember the whole business of volunteering for proctology exams, though. Good God! I can't remember. Did you at least make good money for that?
Yeah, it was close to $100 an hour.
Well, you know, there you go. I mean, it's, you know, we're all going to pay the rent somehow. Fantastic. All right.
I wanted to. The whole payola thing.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the 2005 Radio and Concert Disclosure and Competition Act?
I probably signed something agreeing to follow it at some point, but I probably didn't read it either.
Yeah, no, it's that whole thing that was put forward by Russ Feingold, Democratic senator from Wisconsin.
Right.
To stop Sony and BNG and all those guys from pumping millions and millions of dollars into your fine radio stations to play specific songs.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, look, I mean, they've talked about this a lot, and it's one of those things that, like, every, I don't know, about every 10 or 12 years, the government will just, like, get this bee in their bonnet to find something in the broadcast industry that they want to be all pissed off about. So one year it's like Janet Jackson's boob, and the next year it's like a Limp Bizkit scandal or something, you know? So that's the deal. That's how that works.
There you go. Well, that whole thing falls under the umbrella of Paola. That other guy was mistaken when he was calling it a computer program.
I know. No, he had no idea what he was talking about. But he did reveal, he is only mitigated by the fact that he revealed about two-thirds of the way through the phone call that he was, in fact, drunk. He was about a six-pack in to a half-rack. So
I thought he had just got out of class.
Well, you know, but I mean, class is boring. Sometimes those history classes don't really fly by unless you have the aid of liquor, my friend.
I thought it was a communication class between men and women.
Well, what better way? Really?
Well, I guess one of the prerequisites to that is getting drunk.
I was
going to
say, let's
sit down and have a serious heart to heart with your.
I was going to say, let's be honest. When it comes time to have those conversations, it really is nothing that eases that, like the social lubricant known as booze, my friend.
There you go. Right. Happy birthday, my brother.
Thank you, Perry. There you go. That's Perry on the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2. 970. Rick, call the deaf school and see if they answer the phone. See? Why do you just shake your head silently over there? You know that's funny. Okay.
You're a bad person.
I'm not a bad person. Whoever wrote that is that I'm just reading the emails as they come in. All right, we'll do a couple more here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour, the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. We'll have today's top five and later on. Oh, and somebody asked me about that kids record that I bought at Everyday Music a couple weeks ago. They asked me if I was ever going to play, because I was talking about how it was some terrible rap song from like 1982 that was on this vinyl record from Everyday Music. I'll play that maybe next hour. We'll get to that. Let's do a couple more here and then we'll break. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up? Mike. No. Peter, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Happy birthday, Rick.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, whatever happened to Crystal Pepsi?
Crystal Pepsi is the Mexican version. Crystal Pepsi lasted for what, like 6 months, 8 months, something like that, and then it was just gone.
Yeah, no, I'm only 19 now, so I was like 4 when it came out, and I loved that stuff.
Crystal, well, you're the one then. I mean, they weren't able to make enough money. The problem with Crystal Pepsi is this. Crystal Pepsi was marketed not as what it really was, which is this bizarre cola meets 7-Up meets citrusy kind of drink. Crystal Pepsi was marketed as it was like regular Pepsi, tasted exactly the same, but that it was clear, and it was just sort of a gimmick. And that's what... I went out and bought that as soon as it came on the market. I was like, "Oh, it's like Pepsi, but it's clear. It'll freak me out." And then I drank it, and it just sounded like it just tasted like something completely different, which I think is why it went away.
Probably the case.
So there was a whole thing actually in the mid '90s. This has sort of gone away. There was a whole thing for clear products in the mid-90s. There was, like, clear soap, and there was, like, clear food, and there was clear Pepsi, and there was clear everything. We went through a whole fetish in this country where everything had to be see-through. But, no, it was like Pepsi 1. Whatever happened to Pepsi? Pepsi 1 is gone, I think.
I think so, too. I think the idea is that if you can get rid of all but one calorie, why not just go ahead and get rid of that last one, too, and have diet Pepsi?
It's like that one calorie. It's like the one calorie is just there to screw with you.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't quite motivated enough to get it all the way done. That's really funny. Thank you, sir.
Hey, really quick, I also wanted to say, I think what's funny about the deaf and blind school is the idea that they would be in the same classes, and that there'd be, like, something written up on the chalkboard, but then you'd have to say it for the kids that can't see. but then you'd also have to have it written up there for the kids that can't hear.
It really does seem like you're doubling your workload there and probably not getting as much done by the... You probably wouldn't even be able to take roll by the end of the day.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression that I get. I think that's where most of the comedy lies.
I know that there's something... I'm just going to say that's the most revolting thing you've ever said. I'm not going to repeat it either.
You know it's true.
I
really know it's true.
Don't. Just stop. That's the most revolting thing that's ever come out of your mouth.
All right. I know it's pretty inappropriate, but I don't know how else to say it.
You're allowed to say it, though. You're a woman. If a man said that, you would. If I said
yeah,
that, you'd have me
said that, I would, yeah.
Gutted and dried and hung up outside like a side of beef.
No, and I mean, it is a fear of mine. It's like, no, if my roommates are doing that.
Stop now.
Ugh.
Do you have that not so fresh feeling? All right, it's 503-733-2970. You know who has absolutely no filter on her is Christine Levine.
I know, and that's why I heart her.
Really? Are you BFF forever?
I love it.
I won't repeat the story, but man, I walked into the kitchen the other day. You walk in and just the strangest things are coming. I gotta stop now, because otherwise, if I don't stop, I'll repeat what she was saying, and it might not be for public consumption. It might not be something. It might not be a story she wishes everybody to know.
I don't know, because Christine seems pretty public. I think
you know what? If she wants to come in later and repeat the story in a radio-friendly fashion, I don't know how that's possible, frankly. But I'll ask her here in a few, maybe. I was going to say that I thought that she had the most vile mouth that I had ever, which I say with love, by the way. Christine is sort of like our own, she's like our own living, breathing, like Bette Midler, sort of walks around here. All right, 503-733-2970. We'll talk to our good friend Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com in a few. And I believe this week, I think Christina Ricci nudes up. Is that this week?
Yeah, because Black Snake Moan that came out last weekend.
I think she spends a whole lot of that movie just walking around showing off her cakes. So we'll talk to Mr. Skin about that. But first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's true. And there are many men who waited to be able to look at those legally. But first, ladies and gentlemen, will you please put your working class hands together for the man, the legend, the president, the prophet, the seer, and the revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And don't drive on the steel bridge tonight either.
And get off my lawn.
The I-84 ramp northbound to I-5, the eastbound ramp to the steel bridge, will be stopped until 8 o'clock this evening to make emergency electrical repairs to the steel bridge. It will reopen in both directions for buses, Macs, bicycles, and pedestrians. Westbound cars will also be allowed. Eastbound commuters will need to cross another downtown bridge. So there. These bridges are worthless. Meanwhile, the Oklahoma Senate has passed a bill that declares manure to be a non-hazardous material. Republican Senator Ron Justice of Chickawa wrote the measure and says he's very proud of it indeed.
Livestock industry, it's approximately a $5 billion industry, and if this is classified, if this were to be classified as a hazardous material, then it would not only affect all of the livestock producers, but it would affect people all across the state.
Manure is great. Have some today, won't you?
Yes, manure is, nothing to worry about. It's not hazardous to anyone. Not anyone in Oklahoma, anyway.
And in fact, it would even infect or could affect those people that are raising organically grown vegetables, because I think it would not be a practical thing if we classified it as a hazardous material and then we turned around and tried to raise organically grown vegetables and had to classify those as vegetables that were grown by hazardous material.
Just hazardous, call it. You're growing things in poo. Just call it what it is. I actually wonder about that a lot. Growing up in Kennewick, we had a composting pile out back. And the compost pile is where you put, like, grass clippings and eggshells and a lot of organic material that you then turn into fertilizer. But, of course, my dad would just toss them, like, my dog's whatnot into there. And then, like, you know, and then you don't really think about that until 5 months later and your mom's serving you up a nice, you know, the plate of tomatoes and you're thinking that it actually it gives you a lot of pause, actually, before you decide to eat that food. All right.
Manure is not a problem.
I do not think that this, by declaring this as a non-hazardous material, has any detrimental effect on the clean waters of our state. I think that this simply gives us an opportunity to utilize the product as most beneficial to the state.
Manure is the future of Oklahoma.
I'm sorry. That was a terrible snark. Let's get Helen. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I was the one. You heal leopards, too. Do you remember that?
I heal leopards?
Yeah, remember? I said you were a healer. Because because of your laughter. Leopards, you know, people who are in India, you know, leopards in college.
Indians?
Yeah, no.
What do I heal Indians of?
Oh, no. Leopards. Not humans.
Hold on. Let's stop. I heal leopards?
Well, you know that people have leprosy? That's what you said.
Lepers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Not
anyway,
leopards.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. Yeah. Close. Also, I want to say that you're born at a very lucky time. You're Pisces, you know, fish that swims both ways. And right now...
What do you mean I swim both ways?
Well, Pisces swim both ways, you know? And also, you have a lot of electric energy in you. So when you feel like you're spinning really fast, that is in your sign right now. And it'll be about 5 or 6 years, and so it's like you have bolts of lightning of energy that happens to you that surprises in your life. But in a little while, like 4 or 5 years from now, you're going to have about 14 years of having all your dreams come true. So you better start focusing on exactly what you want in your life.
Because it's going to start coming true in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, when you'll have 14 years of it. So what you need to do is it really, really focus what do you want in your life.
Have you done like
astrology, in astrology, but I know the stuff that goes on because if you know astrology, then you don't get your feelings hurt so much.
Now, is this like did you do a chart for me specifically, or is this like everybody who was born on my birthday gets this?
Well, Pisces people. Pisces are healers, actually. They are healers. Yes. They're not too rigid, you know. They're like water. It's a lot of water, you know. They don't have a lot of definitions, so people who are rigid can feel good around them.
Okay. Helen, God bless you. I really mean that. You're fantastic. And I'm sorry about the leopard confusion.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't pronounce it right.
I mean, not that. I mean, I'd like the ability to heal leopards. I'd like to also emu. All right. Yes. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Helen. All right. There you go. All right. Here's Tim Riley. It's not even going to cut me, but just, I'm just going to take that, and I'm just going to accept it just the way that Helen gave it to me. Here's Tim Riley.
A wife of a decorated Vietnam veteran is outraged after her deceased husband's undressed body was shipped home to Kentucky in an unsealed damaged cardboard box. Charlene Gross and her husband Ronald died last week in Palm Bay, Florida, and Delta Airlines was supposed to ship his remains to Kentucky for his funeral. And Gross said somewhere along the line someone botched her family's most valued delivery. She said her deceased husband was supposed to arrive in Kentucky clothed and embalmed. Instead, she said he arrived in a damaged box, not wearing anything at all.
Good God Almighty.
Yeah. My husband was sent home in a paper cardboard box, not even sealed, with nylon rope around it.
Like Flying Horizon.
Mm.
Brad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
First off, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Whatever to Captain N.
To who?
Captain N.
I don't know. I don't even know what that is. What is Captain N?
He was a cartoon. In the 80s or early 90s.
I know this. Captain N was, and it was an interactive show.
Yeah, he had like a Nintendo controller for his belt buckle.
I totally know this. I know this. It was an interactive television program. And if you had a Nintendo, there was like, you could shoot at stuff on the screen, right? Am I thinking of this right thing?
I think that's it, yeah.
Exactly. Every time there's a new technology that comes out, there is always some short-lived, bad, interactive game or something that comes with it. They used to sell this thing in the 80s, and it was like one of those light guns, like came with Duck Hunt, like they came with the NES. And the deal is, you would put a videotape in there, and the videotape was like a trip through a haunted house, and then like things would fall out. It was like really, really bad cable access filmmaking. But then like stuff would fall out of a closet and like you were supposed to shoot at it. Same thing with Captain N, and they were all really, really primitive versions of that Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
That's all this stuff is. You know, if you've got any of that stuff around, that's the kind of stuff that people forget about and it becomes valuable years later, my friend.
Oh, cool.
Excellent. Captain N, thank you, sir. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, because it's my birthday, we're beginning all phone calls today with Whatever Happened To. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Time for a Britney watch. This is great. Here's your Britney watch.
Apparently, Kevin Federline has shaved his head in order to show support for his ex-wife, Britney.
Solidarity, baby.
What an ass. What a douche.
Apparently, Kevin Federline visited her in rehab with their two children. The rapper's buddies insist that K-Fed is still in love with Britney, and that's why he sticks with her through these hard times. He said he still loves her. The Sun is quoted at Palisade. A source close to Britney says, Kevin has been a real tower of strength for her, and she has finally decided to give their marriage another shot. Brittany not only wants to give K-Fed another chance, but also plans to have another child with him. The couple already has two sons. Brittany has realized what a rock Kevin has been to her and how out of control she has acted recently. After Brittany checked into the Promises Rehabilitation Center in Malibu, British tabloid News of the World reported the staff at the clinic said she was put on a suicide watch after she tried to hang herself with a bed sheet.
Well, see, Kevin Federline knows at this point. Maybe it's not him. He has people around him, probably. They're telling him all this, but he knows that this is...
This is his last chance.
Well, not that. It's not just the last chance. It's a fantastic chance that the universe has handed him this golden opportunity to not look like a schlub. Because he's just such an untalented maroon, you know, he's just a schnook. And that the universe has given him this chance to be not only super dad, but now to be the supportive. And he looks so much the better because he's being supportive even though she filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes him look like a real pro, like the prince here, is that she filed for divorce and yet he's still standing by her side, being her support, her rock.
So are they divorced?
No, well, she filed for divorce, but it hadn't happened yet. Because you file for divorce, and you go and you fight it out, and you do whatever. She filed for divorce, but to the best of my knowledge, the divorce wasn't finalized, and yet he is still standing by her, which, of course, makes him look like even better than he would have normally. So he's got to realize that this is just like, as much as that guy hit the brass ring beforehand with her, this is like 10 times that. Because he has all of this evidence, if he wants to get the kids in the future, that he was a good husband and he was a good father by standing by and being, because he looks so great compared to her now. Like, just by doing nothing, he would look fantastic compared to her. But just now by exhibiting just the slightest bit of support or sympathy, I mean, he looks like Jesus. And so anything he wants in the future, however much of her money he wants, however he wants to have custody of the kids, the courts will automatically give that to him because he looks so great. So, you know what? Well played, Kevin Federline. Well played. There's your Brittany watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Brittany, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, whatever happened to the greatest American hero, first off?
The greatest American hero. Somebody actually just emailed me about that.
I love that show.
The greatest American hero is actually out on DVD now, starring William Catt.
Really?
William Catt, who starred in the horror movie House with Kay Lenz and Richard Mall. I don't know where. Was that Robert Culp? Was that the guy in Greatest American Hero? The guy from...
I honestly have no idea.
Okay, now I'm getting these all confused. Tim, was Robert Culp I Spy or the man from Uncle?
I Spy.
Okay, so Robert, I believe that the greatest American hero was William Catt and Robert Culp. But I really don't know where any of those people are now. Robert Culp, I think, is dead. But beyond that, I don't know.
Oh, and also, the lady that said you heal with your voice.
I heal leopards, yes.
Yes, yes, meow. You lack definition because you need to ride your bike.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for that, all right. Sarah doesn't know the greatest American hero. The only way you know the greatest American, I will tell you, you're going to hear, everybody would like now a perfect example of a generation gap. I'm going to demonstrate for you the generation gap made tangible, made concrete. Sarah, what is this song?
Well, I know it from Seinfeld.
You know, believe it or not, George isn't at home. That's exactly it. There's a whole generation, just like there's a whole generation that only knows the unplugged version of Layla, there's a whole generation that only knows that as George Costanza's answering machine greeting. And it's the theme song to The Greatest American Hero. So let's see. This is DJ on The Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm a little older than you, so it might be before your time. Whatever happened to Max Headroom?
Max Headroom, there was two versions of that for those who don't know. Sarah probably has never seen an episode of Max Headroom in her life.
Why do you keep pointing out that I don't know?
Because Tim is going to be familiar with a lot of these things and that you represent the younger demographic here in the Rick Emerson radio program. That's what I'm saying. It is, because I'm never going to be able to make anybody feel old by talking to Scotty.
Another thing, though, I'd like to register a complaint on behalf of the hearing impaired people of Oregon. Because I want to register a complaint.
Yes.
I want to register a complaint on the Can anybody hear me? Hello?
Oh, God.
I want to register.
I don't think that works. I don't think that works because your joke implies that we're deaf.
Maybe I got the phone upside down. Okay, sorry.
Okay. We're done. Thank you.
That went on too long.
Thank you so much. I don't think he fully thought that joke through. That's a joke. That the spatial relations on that joke were all wrong. All right, we've got Mr. Skin here, but first, Sarah, I'd like to thank you for giving me this bag of chocolate Chex Mix. And now everybody knows my weakness is like a reverse kryptonite.
It doesn't kill me, though. It just gives me a huge ass.
And Seamus wanted to send me money, like PayPal me money so I could buy you a bunch of bags of it for your birthday.
Somebody else gave me a huge bag of this. It was sitting up on my desk. Our good friend Teresa gave me a big bag of this for my birthday. So thank you. Would you like your birthday present, Sarah?
Do you have it?
When was your birthday?
October 9th.
All right. If you like, I have your birthday present.
Okay.
Well, actually, let's talk to Mr. Skin, and then I'll give it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend Mr. Skin. What's up, brother man? How you doing?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
It's going fantastically, and let me tell you why that is. It's going fantastically.
Is it your birthday?
Well, not only because my birthday is that's in the minus column. That is outweighed by the fact that I believe this weekend Christina Ricci nudes up in the theater in that Black Snake Moan.
Yes. You know she's topless 5 times in this movie, and when she's not naked, she is in her underwear, tied up, chained up by Samuel L. Jackson. So, for anyone that's into celebrity nudity, you're gonna like Black Snake Moan. And Christina Ricci is pretty hot, I have to say. I get a lot of guys that there's a few guys that think she's a little strange looking, but I think she's super hot. And the message boards and the emails, there's been a lot of interest in this movie. I'm glad it's finally out.
Well, she was one of those. I mean, for like the Holy Grail for a long time, right? Because she didn't do nudity. I mean, I guess she's not that old, but I guess for a long time, guys were like, when is she going to go topless? She's
exactly.
Kind of like how Jennifer Love Hewitt is, where guys are like, is she ever going to go be topless? Is she ever going to go nude? Whatever.
Right now, Jennifer Love Hewitt, followed by Scarlett Johansson and Jessica Biel, are the three that are the most requested non-nudes that I get. So those three right now, and it's good to see Christina Ricci in the nudity category. Though she did get naked before, anytime she gets naked, it's...
It was Prozac Nation, I think.
Yes.
She dropped a bunch of weight for that film, too. But when I didn't think...
Not her chest, which was great. She lost weight in every other area, which was the beauty.
What else is opening this weekend?
Well, there's a movie called 300 that is the comic book adventure. It's getting a lot of press, and it's a movie about the ancient Spartans, I believe, of Frank Miller, based on his stuff, Sin City guy. But not only do you get a naked lesbian group scene in this movie, but at the 22-minute mark, this girl, she's from UK, Lena Headey, gets topless. So the only negative is you see a lot of man butt in this movie, but the good news is there is girl nudity and some real good stuff in this. So 300 is out on Friday, and I'm looking forward to that. So movie theater-wise, we're looking good, and DVDs, there's always good stuff. There's a movie called Fast Food Nation. I don't know if you know about it, but 35 minutes in, a girl named Anna Claudia Talencan shows her Big Macs, very nice, and it's a pretty good topless scene in the car, but it's called Fast Food Nation and good nudity from Anna Claudia Talencan. But the one that I'm really excited about, they're releasing this week, and this is the title of the movie. Remember Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah.
They're releasing it. Funny, but the famous scene in Revenge of the Nerds happens at the 51-minute mark when all the nerds, they have a remote control.
Well, then they're watching the Delta Pies or whatever the hell they are. Now, I thought that was out on DVD. I guess it's got extra special features.
Yeah, they got a bunch of features and interviews and stuff, but the difference is that, you know, the bottom line is that, you know how it is with DVDs, they're releasing them all a bunch of different
over
times.
Over and over again.
But this is a classic, and a lot of guys remember this movie, and I always get asked about the girls in this movie, who they were. The only one you might remember, Julia Montgomery, she was the blonde girl that got naked right before you saw the whole the famous scene with
right.
Booger's words. But very good movie, great nudity, and it's called Revenge of the Nerds. And the
300, though, just to go back to that for a second, the geeks in our audience have been so pumped up for that movie anyway yeah. because it's based on a graphic novel and it's a yeah. comic book and it looks yeah. fantastic and everything. So they'll be extra happy to hear that there's some lesbian grope fest happening there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. You know, with these... it's funny with the it's weird with the comic book stuff. Like there's a movie that was out last year called A Scanner Darkly,
right.
Winona Ryder, and we have a bunch of tours, like 20 different tours to get into MrSkin.com, and we have different actresses highlighting the different tours. And our number one most popular tour, and what I mean by that, the one that creates the most joins to the website, is the one with Winona Ryder topless, but as a cartoon from Scanner Darkly. It's a weird thing about cartoons and sci-fi and guys, they really dig it, and they'll probably dig this 300 a lot.
Excellent. Fantastic. The website is MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database. We'll talk to you next week, brother. Have a good
okay.
week.
Take care, Rick.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, MrSkin. Fantastic. Well, that's like my weird, unholy love for Luann Hill, anyway, who I find strangely attractive, even though she's a fictitious cartoon character. Rick, whatever happened to Space Ace and Dragons? I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day, about Dragon's Lair. If you go to YouTube, actually, there's a great video. The guys my age remember Dragon's Lair, which is actually the very first video disc type arcade game where it looked like you were playing a cartoon. It was from Don Bluth Animators, the same guy who did Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats or The Secret of Nim. There's actually a YouTube video where, and everybody who is, I would imagine, 30 years to probably 40 years of age, you would go and you would play Dragon's Lair, which is, I believe, the first arcade game that cost 50 cents. The other game that cost 50 cents was a game called Mach 3. You know what it is? This is really pathetic. I'm having this realization now that MrSkin is one of those, when you talk to that guy, and it's not a front, like when you talk to MrSkin, like he doesn't, you can tell he's not Googling it. You can tell he just knows it. When he's like, at the 33-minute mark, Edie Falco shows her right bosom for 15 seconds. And you think, well, gosh, what a freak that guy knows all that stuff. And right now, I'm just caught myself doing the same thing when I'm talking about Dragon's Lair.
You are a freak.
I never really realized, though, how that must sound to people, that I must just sound like some insane
remember
pop
when
culture
we had
bot.
Tina Yodler's on, and you were talking about like
all
the past episodes. Yeah, and she was asking if you had done research. You're like, oh,
I was autistic.
I know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Dragon's Lair was the first video disc type system, and it was made by Don Bluth, who did The Secret of Nim, and then it was the first video game that cost 50 cents, the only other one at that time being a game called Mach 3, which is a fighter game, which is an arcade fighter jet game that was had an animated plane over a real background. Anyway, blah, 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 blah.
Birthday present.
But the kids who would play Dragon's Lair, you would snuff it like 20, 25 seconds in. Like, and after like $1.50, you're like, F this. And you just would never play it anymore. On YouTube, there's actually a 7 or 8 minute video of a kid playing Dragon's Lair successfully without dying all the way from the beginning to the end. If you've ever wondered what it was like for Dirk the Daring to get all the way to the end of his adventure, you can actually see that now on YouTube. Hi. How you doing?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know. Hey, thanks for this Chex Mix.
You're welcome. Can I have my present now?
Hold on.
I thought you couldn't eat when you were on the air.
Well, I make an exception for Chex Mix.
Oh, what is it?
Happy birthday, Sarah, 5 months after the fact.
Ooh, how much?
It's a gift certificate to Buffalo Exchange.
For how much?
How much do you think it's for?
$10.
Screw you. That's for 40.
It's the Buffalo Exchange?
I think. Maybe not.
Oh,
I don't know how much it's for now. I want to say it's for 40, but that might be wrong.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a very nice present.
Wait, don't hold me to that, though. It might be for 10. I tried to get you two things. That's one of the hats at half. You want to know the other
gift? Well, now I feel guilty for just giving you a bag of Chex Mix.
Uh-huh. How much did this cost?
$2. And actually, my friend who took me to work, he bought it for you. I didn't have cash. I'm paying him back, though.
Give me back the gift certificate. I'm pretty sure that's for $40, but I'm not sure.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, that's what I do. I tried to get you... Do you want to know what I tried to get you and failed?
Okay.
I tried to get you your own seat at Sabala's with, like, a plaque on it that nobody else could sit in.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. Not Sabala's anymore.
Well, and he was going through kind of a weird time. He was a lot of stress, a lot of things going on, and he and I just weren't able to connect on it, so he wasn't able to get it done. And I didn't want to do it somewhere else. I wanted to do it at Sabala's. So I tried to get, like... a chair with, like, Sarah X. Dillon, like, a plaque on it where, like, no one else could sit in that chair except Wallace. I wanted to get your own reserve chair there.
That would be the raddest thing
so
ever.
So just know that that's the thought that counts. That was the thought. I tried to get that for you.
Well, I will go buy four pairs of sunglasses with this. So thank you very much.
So I couldn't get it done, so I just got you a gift certificate because I'm an ass.
Oh, that's a perfect gift.
All right. This may be Jim Roop. Let's pick up the phone and find out. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, it's I.
Hi, Jim. How you... Let's welcome now Jim Roop to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
How's life, brother? How's things? How you doing?
Life is good.
All right. Well, you sound better. You sound way better than you did yesterday.
Yeah, thanks. I feel better.
Hey, is it true that now, I don't, is this California that's doing this, trying to move this, trying to get this early primary going on there, or is that actually the political parties themselves?
No, that's California. You know, the governor's ticked off that politicians come here to raise a lot of money, but because the primary here is in June, they don't spend any of it here. They don't campaign here. So they're just trying to move it up a little bit so California has a little better voice in who's going to be president.
So here's a dumb question. If you guys decide to have an early primary in California, are the politicians actually going to show up for it?
They already have been. They've already, I mean, we just have been having this influx of hopeful candidates here, from Obama to Clinton to Robert to Edwards to McCain. I mean, they've all been here. Giuliani was here yesterday.
It's interesting. They've tried to do this with debates, actually, where they've tried to start scheduling debates early or try to have debates like in Iowa, you know, like a year and a half before the fact. And a lot of the candidates have been like, hey, screw it. I'm just going to skip it. I'll catch it the next time around. So
that was a lot of people here. If the primary is going to be in February as opposed to June, they're going to want to make their voices heard here, you know, very loudly.
Is it true that you guys, there is now, Beverly Hills has a mayor now who was born in Iran?
Well, possibly. It's mayor in, you know, the plaque on the desk figure. Because what happens is there's a city council there, and the senior member of the city council becomes the mayor.
Right.
You know? And so this guy, who's the incumbent in the elections yesterday, to be reelected to the city council, if he's reelected, he'll be the senior member, so he'll be the mayor. The real executive of the city is a hired person. But it's pretty interesting because there was a big controversy not too long ago that they've made all the ballots in both English and Farsi because of there's such a high Persian population in Beverly Hills, and now, you know, it could very well be that they have an Iranian-born mayor, which has a lot of the, you know, hoity-toity out there all ticked off.
It's a strange time we're living in. And finally, we're going to take up a lot of your time. Have you heard this O.J. Simpson news today?
No. I've been with Tyler Moody all day.
Hold up. Really? Tyler's coming to visit us on Friday.
Yeah, I know. He was just down here. You'll like him. He's a good guy. You'll like him a lot.
Tyler.
I'm super excited. He's kind of like a celebrity to us.
He's one of the guys who works at the CNN booking office. And, he's going to be coming in and kicking it with us, as the kids say. Tim, do you have that O.J. Simpson story? It should be in the regular news pile over there, in the non-watch pile. It's from the New York Post. It's in there somewhere. It's in the is it lurking near that? Well, I'll just paraphrase this. Just paraphrase that. O.J. Simpson put out a press release. It's one of those things that just sounds too absurd to even be real. O.J. Simpson put out a press release this morning, asking them to investigate whether or not he is, wait for it, the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby. And then just because O.J. Simpson is all about class and tact and style and grace and manners and etiquette, he says, I swear to God, the article, the press release contains this phrase. I'm going to try to look up the article right here while we're talking. But O.J. Simpson is talking about Anna Nicole Smith, and he's talking about the baby, and he says, you know, he said I'd like to throw my hat into the ring, you know, the potential the fathers who, you know, who may. Here we go. This is I'm reading this right here. O.J. Simpson says Anna Nicole Smith's baby might be his. Says this email, and he says, who knows? I got real friendly with her on the set of Naked Gun 33 and a third, and I do have, wait for it, I do have slow-moving sperm, says O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
But then, just to prove that he's all about being a gentleman, he says, I swear to God, I'm not making this up, he says, I hope that I'm not the father. I don't want Fred Goldman trying to come seize the baby. That's what he says. This is a quote. He says, I hope they don't do a DNA test on Anna Nicole's baby. If they find out Daniel in his mind, I don't want Fred Goldman trying to come seize the baby, said Simpson. So there you go. So in case you were running out of reasons to hate that guy, in case you were running out of reasons to dislike OJ, we can fill up that tank for you, my friend. what we do. And I think he's gone. Okay, there you go. Thanks, Jim. Bye now. I think we killed Jim. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We return after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere.